It'll be interesting to talk to Cherie. There was a lot of controversy when the various Green New Deal programs were presented, both here in Chico and elsewhere around the world, and a lot of misunderstanding about what they include, including in the recent presidential hoo-ha. It was clear that the current president doesn't really understand what the Green New Deal is all about. It is not a specific set of legislative proposals, but rather a set of ideas that might be enacted upon if there's a when there is a Congress. There we go. We're getting close. Let me push this like this, and we'll play some music. Ready to go, team?
Love came to my door with a sleeping roll and a madman's soul. He thought for sure I'd seen him dancing up a river in the dark, looking for a woman to court and spar. He was playing on the sidewalk for passing change when something strange happened. Glory train passed through him, so he buried the coins he made in People's Park and went looking for a woman to court and spark. It seemed like he read my mind. He saw me mistrusting him and still acting kind. He saw how I worried. Sometimes I worry sometimes. All the guilty people, he said, they've all seen the stain on their daily bread, on their Christian names. I cleared myself, I sacrificed my blues, and you could complete me, I'd complete you. His eyes were the color of the sand in the sea, and the more he talked to me, you know, the more he reached me. But I couldn't let go of L.A., city of the fallen angels.
So, as I hope you probably know, I mean, I my fondest hope is that you know this, that we choose themed music for our playlists. And for some reason, the playlist that I created for tonight does not seem to be wanting. And I think I know what happened. I think I had a technical problem at home when I was recording. So, instead tonight, and you can never go wrong with this, we're going to be playing a Joni Mitchell album, Court and Spark. And that was Court and Spark. And you know what? I could listen to Joni Mitchell all day. So it's not themed, but it's great music. We're going to take a short break here and put on another Joni Mitchell song while we call Sherry Chastain.
But first, we'd like to remind you that the opinions voiced on Ecotopia are not necessarily those of the staff, KZFR, the management, the board of directors, the guy who just walked into the studio, or anybody else that we can think of. You're on your own. Exercise your critical judgment about what is said on this program. We also want to remind you that this program is made possible by the COVID-conscious Chico.
You already did that.
You did that?
I did the Underwriters.
I didn't hear that.
Okay, we were
wasn't
busy.
Paying attention.
Okay, so
all right,
we're going to we're now going to call Cherie Chastain. So listen to some more Joni Mitchell.
You're a rambler and a gambler and a sweet-talking ladies' man. And you love your loving. Not like you love your
Okay, so this is Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico. We hope you're enjoying our Joni Mitchell album for tonight, since our CD that we created for this program didn't work, and then we called Cherie, and then we hung up on her. So this is our night. We're going, it's smooth sailing from here. So our guest this evening is Cherie Chastain. She is the chair of the Chico Climate Action Committee for the city of Chico, and she is also the campus sustainability manager for Chico State. And so she has a lot of work to do. Welcome back to Ecotopia, Cherie.
Thanks, Susan and Steve, for having me. Good to be here, virtually.
Great. Let's start out by talking about the Chico Climate Action Commission. Last year, the Sustainability Task Force was elevated to commission status. Can you tell us about why and how the city made that decision?
Yeah, I think there was a growing recognition that we needed to do more to address climate change within the city of Chico, having been recently directly impacted by the Camp Fire and other natural disasters that we have experienced as a result of climate change. A task force is great, but does not serve as a direct advisory body for the City of Council, the City of Chico Council. So the decision was made by council to elevate the task force to a commission, and the commission gives direct advice and recommendations to the council with regard to climate change.
Do you get some financial support for that the the task force did not have available to it?
There was some funding made available to hire a consultant to put together the climate action plan, which we'll talk about in depth here tonight. So there has been some money put into it so far, and we'll hope that that continues moving forward.
So what is the charge of the Climate Action Committee, and what's its role in city? Okay, I'm going to start. Okay, the role of the Climate Action Commission in city government. What is your charge? What do they say? Okay, here's what you guys do.
Right. The Climate Action Commission is to advise city council on all matters related to climate adaptation, climate action, and climate resilience. So we are kind of the go-to body for anything related to climate change or the impacts of climate change.
And currently, you all, how big is, who's on the commission? How big is it? I just looked that up the other day. I know you have a really interesting group of people.
Yes, we do. It is a 7-person commission. We currently have six members serving on the commission. The 7th will be filled after this election, I believe. So there's myself on the commission. Mark Seaman, who is faculty at Chico State, serves on the commission.
Right.
Dave Donnan, local active community member for a long time, as well as Kirk Monfort, active community member for a long time. We have Mike Nelson, who is a local civil engineer who has a civil engineering consulting firm, and Rebecca Casey, who is with Grid Alternative, the local nonprofit getting solar on our low-income households in our region.
And how often do you meet?
We meet the second Thursday of every month at 6 o'clock. We had a few month hiatus this year just because of COVID, but I think everybody took a few month hiatus
so
we got our feet underneath us with this situation.
So currently the Climate Action Commission, you're in the process of updating the Climate Action Plan. Could you clarify us when that Climate Action Plan was first created, who was involved with the creation, where does it stand at the moment?
And what does the Climate Action Plan call for?
Right, yes, all very good questions. So the Climate Action Plan is just that. It is intended to be a plan of action to address climate change. So the plan is intended to outlay recommendations, projects, prescriptions, ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, potentially sequester greenhouse gas emissions, and then the new plan will include some possible funding sources. So the initial plan that the city was adopted, I believe, in 2012. I think the work started in about 2010 and was completed around 2012. And that plan outlined steps and actions to take leading up to 2020, which is where we currently are. And that plan included, you know, it was developed by city staff members, at that time, the City Sustainability Task Force, Chico State's Institute for Sustainable Development was key in that, and then a whole list of community partners all came together to collectively write this plan. So we're in the process of updating that plan right now, which hopefully will take us out over the next 10 years.
I've spent quite a bit of time on your website, and there are quite a few sectors, and it's quite detailed in terms of what has to be taken into consideration. So can you describe in a bit more detail what the sectors of the city that are taken into consideration in creating the cap? And then we can talk a little bit about goals and targets and how well the city of Chico did.
Sure, yes. So there are three main sources of greenhouse gas emissions that we measure within the city of Chico. One of them is energy, which includes both natural gas combustion and electricity consumption. Another segment is transportation, so that would be all gasoline and diesel fuel sales in the city of Chico. Excuse me. And then the third segment would be our landfill contributions, or the amount of solid waste that we send to landfill. Take a sip of water there. So the initial plan and the initial goals that were adopted was to reduce from those three segments not individually but collectively, to reach 25% reduction below our 2005 baseline by the year 2020. So we look at all of those segments, and we look at trends over time. And the idea, again, the goal was to meet a 25% reduction below 2005. The most recent inventory for the city that we've been able to do, because this data lags a few years behind, so the most recent inventory that we've been able to do is 2017. And that 2017 inventory showed that we had met a 27% reduction from our 2005 baseline in greenhouse gas emissions collectively from those three sources.
And that's pretty amazing, really.
It is, yes. It is certainly something that we should all take a moment to celebrate. You know, if we don't celebrate success when it comes, it makes this road a lot harder. But we can't celebrate for too long, because there were some semi-disturbing trends that we saw in that data over the last several years. And that data does not account for the impact that we have felt from the campfire.
Yes.
And our spike in population, which
Yes.
obviously results in a spike of energy use, of fuel use, and solid waste generation. So the data we have doesn't capture post-campfire city of Chico.
So when you're talking about energy use, it's not just the city-owned energy use. It's for the whole city. So it's what households and businesses and everyone uses in terms of energy. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. We're able to get data from the utility on how much electricity and natural gas is sold into the city of Chico. We don't have visibility, you know, I can't look at a specific residence, for example, or a specific business, right? It comes with some level of anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
We do have visibility into city buildings, and so we can look at, you know, specific city buildings or city functions. But we look collectively at residential electricity use, residential natural gas use, and then we look at commercial natural gas use and residential natural gas use is how we break that up.
Right. And same way with transportation. You look at not just the city's use, not just like city buses and city vehicles, but all vehicles in Chico and the greenhouse gas emissions for all vehicles.
Right. The transportation one, and with all of these, you know, the data, you kind of have to take it somewhat with a grain of salt. It's not
mm-hmm.
perfect. For the transportation, you know, the only way for us to really get that information and how we've been measuring it is to measure the amount of fuel sold within the city of Chico.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
So we're how much gasoline and diesel sales have there been in the city of Chico? Now, obviously, there's a lot to that. You know, we have a lot of people fueling up. Maybe they're fueling up in Oroville and driving to Chico. Or maybe people are passing through Chico and fueling up and they're only here just to fill up their gas tank. So, you know, there's a bit of kind of squishiness with some of this data, but I think it's a pretty solid picture, a snapshot of where the city of Chico stands, and it's in alignment with what we see for other state measurements and other cities that are doing a similar work.
So you said that there was a 72% decrease in greenhouse gas emissions overall, and
that's
then I read
27. Not 72.
I meant 27. I have a little dyslexia problem.
Yeah.
I love that, though. Wouldn't that be great? But then the one that surprised me, that there was a 42% per person decrease. And that was despite the fact that there was a 27% population increase. And I realize these figures are squishy, but how was that achieved? And especially, I'm curious about the per person decrease.
Right. So, you know, if you look at per person, you're not necessarily only accounting for what happens within their residence or their home. It's all of the infrastructure that is associated with the city of Chico. So the businesses that they're frequenting, their jobs that they're going to, that kind of thing. So
right.
In the period that we looked at, which was 2005 to 2017, there was a 27% increase in population.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a 12-year span that we're talking about, and a lot happened in that time frame that feels like ancient history now, but you know, we had a massive recession in that time period. It kind of pales into comparison to what's going on right now. But we did have a massive recession in 2007, 8, 9, 10.
We thought it was horrible.
Right. And so a lot of that drove, we can only speculate, but we feel that that drove some of the declines that we saw.
For example,
fuel becomes more expensive. You find ways to reduce your personal expenses, which fuel is one of them. Electricity is one of them. We don't have a lot of construction happening during that time period, which reduces also vehicle travel, but most importantly, our contributions to landfill. So as construction tends to swing upward, we tend to see an upward swing in the amount of material that we send to landfill. So there's a lot of things that need to be balanced here as we look at this data. I think there were a lot of positive things that happened, but, unfortunately, they happened in really terrible economic times.
We're going to take a break in a minute, but I just have a couple of other questions. Oh, Steve has a question.
I tend to
run away, run away with my enthusiasm. So, a couple of things. One is landfill as being such a huge part of greenhouse gas emissions has always puzzled me. And we in the environmental coalition group, we have talked with I can't remember her name now, but she works with waste management, and they're trying to reduce, by state law, they have to reduce what goes into landfill by having more organic landfill going to composting machines. So is it organic waste that creates the trouble with greenhouse gases?
It is primarily organic waste, but really the emissions that come from a landfill are from anything that decomposes. So
right.
Paper products, food products, wood products, plant products. Plastic is inert. Plastic does not decompose, which is a whole probably spend a whole other show on that issue.
Yeah, really.
But when you send organic material to a landfill, If it decomposes anaerobically or in the absence of oxygen, because we're going to pack the landfill as tight as we possibly can to make room for the next day's waste.
Mm-hmm.
As we pack it, we eliminate air. That air, as we eliminate air, we create an anaerobic environment. When organic material decomposes in an anaerobic environment, it releases and generates methane. And methane is approximately 23 times more potent as a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide.
Right.
So landfills become a huge, nationally and globally, they're a huge contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. And most of that is driven from organic products. But like I said, anything that could break down. So wood, plants, food, newspaper, cardboard, all of that.
Are there other efforts besides something that eats organic matter to reduce what goes into by the city? I guess we can talk about this in the second half of the show a little bit more, but to reduce what goes into the landfill, of course. I mean, I know the answer to that question.
The state is making mandates, of course, which are forcing us to recycle, forcing us to divert organic material. That one, the bill that I think you were referencing, I think is 1383, which mandates organic diversion from landfill, specifically targeted at food.
Yes.
So working with our restaurants, our cafeterias, heavy preference is placed on recovering food for the people who need it. Food should be eaten. It should not be wasted.
Yes.
So addressing the waste issue and getting the food to the people who are food insecure. And then if that fails or if it's inedible food, finding a way to compost it, which we can then return to our soils and sequester even more carbon.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, Sheree, about you're very much a boots on the ground project. When we were scrambling around trying to find a CD to play, I started talking a little bit about the Green New Deal at the national level. Obviously, very abstract. As I was saying, widely misunderstood and unduly castigated. We also have a variation of it here in Chico due to the declaration of the climate emergency and what opponents have called the Brown New Deal after Alex Brown. I wonder if you could talk a little bit, though, about the general aims of the Green New Deal and how well they mesh with the aims of your commission.
Well, they mesh very well. I mean, the intent and the purpose behind a Green New Deal is to transition our economy, transition our energy economy, transition our transportation economy, transition our materials and commodities economies, moving towards renewable resources, weaning ourselves off of fossil fuels, recovering materials and keeping them in manufacturing systems and loops. These are directions that we need to go as a country, as a society, as a global species. We need to start moving in this direction. We are not the first country to have these conversations. There are many other countries around the world that have similar types of movements to reinvest in renewable energy. Again, weaning off of fossil fuels, both for the energy sector and the transportation sector, and then looking at our materials recovery system. So there are things that need to happen, you know, at a federal level. There needs to be a global movement, which we have. The federal level, we're lacking, obviously. But then the state level, and then ultimately down to the local level. And so at every step, we need to be making these steps, and we need to be taking the proper direction. We need to making the right investments. You know, for example, and we can talk about this a little bit later, but the community choice aggregation and the drawing a blank on it, but taking local control of the energy that we are providing within our community, right? Can we sign those contracts with renewable energy developers and utilize the local infrastructure to get it to us? Yes, we can. That's Butte Choice Energy. That's what it is. So, you know, there are steps happening locally, statewide, federally, and globally. We need to just continue that momentum. I think we need to take the politics out of this.
Yes.
This is not, climate change is not and should not be a political issue. It impacts Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Green Parties, Libertarians equally. There's no partisanship here. There's no discrimination with regard to which political party you affiliate to. You are impacting just as equally. So we've got to remove the politics from this and recognize what's best for us as a species, as part of a larger global ecosystem.
We're talking to Cherie Chastain. She's chair of the Climate Action Commission for the City of Chico about the update of the Climate Action Plan. In the second half of the program, we'll talk about the work on that and the special challenges given the state of California's regulation to be carbon neutral by 2045. This is Ecotopia on KZFR.
To decide, you know I go back there tomorrow, but for the work I've taken on, stoking the star maker machinery behind the popular song.
hide behind the popular song.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 in Chico, and we are talking with Cherie Chastain. She's the chair of the Climate Action Commission for the city of Chico, and we're talking about the climate action update of the climate action plan. So, Cherie, the update, how big is the update? How significant is it? And what's the process for going about updating the Climate Action Plan?
So we are, because this is not a brand new endeavor for Chico, you know, we've had a Climate Action Plan since about 2012. So we're continuing to build on the work and the momentum that's already been done within the city of Chico. To update the plan, we gather the data, which we were just talking about in the last segment, of what are our emission trends over time? What does a snapshot look of the city of Chico right now? I should mention also that we have a consultant who's working on this project for us.
Oh,
so
interesting.
This is not exclusively city staff or the commission doing this. We have a consultant, RINCON consultant, who is putting this plan together, gathering this data, developing some of these strategies. So they've pulled from the previous work that's been done in the city of Chico, listened to new ideas from staff and commissioners on, you know, which direction this plan should go in. From there, they've put together a draft of some strategies, and the strategies went to city staff for review. They went to the commissioners for review, and we were able to provide feedback on, you know, oh, this is already done, or this group is doing this, or let's add this. And then from here, we're close to being ready to go out for community feedback. And I should take a moment back.
Sure.
There was a period of time before the task force, the sustainability task force, had transitioned into a commission.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time period, we hosted, because we knew that this was coming, we knew that we were hiring a consultant, and we knew that we were going to be updating the plan. So we got a head start on some of the community outreach, and we hosted, I think, 6 or 7 different community outreach listening sessions in which we gathered feedback from community members on what they wanted to see included in the plan. So that was also given to the consultant to continue to draw from. So now we're going back out for community engagement here in the next couple of weeks.
I noticed, too, on your website, actually, I've taken that climate quiz a couple of times. What was your purpose in creating that climate quiz? Just to inform. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was developed by the RINCON consultants, is who we hired to put together our climate action plan. They worked with a community outreach specialist who developed that outreach strategy and plan. And so the quiz was really just to kind of spark some thought and interest from mm-hmm. community members. You know, testing your knowledge in a fun sort of way, but maybe getting you to also think in a direction that maybe you hadn't been thinking of when you entered into the conversation on the website. So informational, but also hopefully inspirational, sparking mm-hmm. was the impetus behind that.
One of the things that interested me was the kind of emphasis on having all electric appliances. We interviewed somebody, oh gosh, it's been a couple of years now, who said if we went to all electric appliances, and that we have the ability right now with solar and wind power to support that, and that that would be far better than natural gas, propane, so forth. And so is that a common idea? Is that something that people are pushing?
It is, yes, and that's
okay.
Actually makes up the bulk of some of our key strategies for the city of Chico. Residential natural gas consumption makes up 14% of the 2017 Chico greenhouse gas inventory. So it's a relatively significant source of emissions for the city of Chico at 14%. So electrifying, you know, primarily residential infrastructure to start, and then moving into commercial and industrial. The technology exists. There are electric water heaters. There are electric stoves. You know, there are options. So it's not like we're inventing new technology. There are several communities that are already moving in this direction. For example, either Arcata or Eureka, and the city of Sacramento has actually banned natural gas in all new residential construction. So we're not, you know, inventing something brand new here. There is conversations at the state level about electrification, recognizing that we have to start weaning ourselves off of fossil fuels, which includes natural gas. Yes, electrification is some of the key strategies in the Climate Action Plan so far.
What if we could talk a little more about the source of that electricity? There's been a lot of kerfuffle in the newspaper lately over Gavin Newsom's proposal to ban non-electric vehicles after 2035. And letters to the paper say, well, we don't have enough electricity now. There are brownouts. The wind doesn't blow at night. What kinds of steps would you see Chico and the state taking to get our electric production amped up to the levels that would make it possible to do the changeover?
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, the recent rolling blackouts and brownouts that we had, the California Public Utilities Commission and the California Energy Commission have come out and said that renewables did not play a factor in the occurrences of those rolling blackouts. And so we have the energy. Largely, we need to continue to invest in it. Obviously, we need a lot more of it, but it needs to be combined with storage. So we need to be able to generate the power, for example, from solar. Obviously, we're only going to get power when the sun is out. If we have large capacity, we need to be able to store that power for use in off-peak times. Winds can blow all moments of the day. That can happen 24 hours in a day. But we do need to combine that wind power, again, with storage so that we have the power when we need it. And there's lots of examples of this continuing to increase, not just in California, but in other states as well.
And so are there plans in Chico to work on that kind of independently from what's happening at the state level?
Yeah, so, you know, the state is passing mandates that, you know, by
right.
I think 2045,
yes.
100% of the power sold in California will be from renewable sources. So, you know, we're 25 years away from that mark. And there are phased step-ins along the way that are phased thresholds that we have to meet along the way. One of the things that's happening locally, which I already mentioned, was the Butte Choice Energy, and that's the establishment of a community choice aggregation that allows us to procure our own energy, signing contracts with energy developers so that we can source the power from the sources that we want to source it from, and then utilizing the utility's infrastructure to deliver it to us here. So joining and implementing the Butte Choice Energy here within the city of Chico is another one of the key strategies that we're putting forward in the Climate Action Plan.
I have to say, it surprised me that there's been so little commotion over the Butte Choice Plan. It seemed to be going smoothly. It's going to happen, and not a lot of uproar from the community against it.
Well, it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
You know, I haven't gotten an update in a while on the status and if we're still on target to meet the dates that were initially put forward, but I'm excited about it. And the communities that it's been working in, I believe there's 23, I think, operational CCAs in California, and almost across the board, every single one of them has been able to show at least a marginal savings for their customers. And then a lot of the revenue has been reinvested in the local community. So I'm particularly excited about this opportunity for Butte County and the city of Chico. And I'm excited to see how that works out for us.
Can we talk a little bit more about, you mentioned that in the Enterprise Record, the article last week, said that there are currently 20 strategies outlined. You mentioned a couple, but can you talk more about that?
Yeah, we actually have 10 key strategies, so 10 focus areas. There's lots and lots of other different tactics that are kind of associated with all of these. But the key strategies, we talked about electrification, spanning natural gas, potentially in new residential construction, electrifying the city's infrastructure, conducting a feasibility study, and then a phase-out plan for city infrastructure, adopting an electrification ordinance within the city of Chico for existing buildings, and then amending the residential energy conservation ordinance to include conservation and electrification with a substantial remodel. So those are kind of on the building side of things. And then there's joining the Butte Choice Energy, CCA, is another key strategy. And then we get into transportation, so developing our active transportation plan, improving that or implementing that, amending building codes in accordance with BCAG's electric vehicle readiness plan, so increasing infrastructure for electric vehicles. Implementing the downtown access plan, which includes some dynamic pricing for vehicles, so looking to incentivize alternative modes of transportation while at the same time somewhat disincentivizing vehicle travel. And then on the solid waste side, we already talked about SB 1383, which keeps organics out of the landfill. And then we also briefly touched on another key strategy is working with our urban forest revitalization program to increase the tree canopy, which thus increases our carbon storage in the trees, but also then extending that into the soils and managing our soils for higher and better sequestration.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot.
And each one of those bucket areas, there's a whole bunch more that goes with it. So, yes, we have a lot of work cut out for ourselves.
Wow.
I wonder if you could talk a little more about public transportation, which has always seemed to be, to us, to be extremely difficult because of suburban sprawl. It's hard to get buses out there where they're convenient for a large number of people. As it stands now, you often have to wait for a long time, and then a half-empty or two-thirds empty bus comes along to take you where you're going. Do you have vision about how public transportation might be rearranged to encourage more people to take that system?
I don't yet have a vision for that. I'm sure BCAG has a vision. BCAG is the agency, obviously, that runs the B line here in Chico.
Right.
I'm sure they have a vision for that. You know, I think some of the conversations that we've had are around, larger employers, some of the large employment centers offering subsidized passes for their employees. Chico State offers that. So, for example, every faculty, student, and staff at Chico State with a valid ID card can swipe that ID card and ride the bus for free with that bus pass.
Nice.
So creating, some incentive programs from some of the large employers or destinations. We talked a lot about, really boosting downtown Chico as a hub for people to get to and improving the infrastructure for them to get there using alternative transportation. So instead of getting in a car and driving downtown, maybe hop on the bus, ride a bike, ride a skateboard, walk, it doesn't really matter as long as it's not a single occupancy vehicle. So a lot of that will come within the active transportation plan that the city has.
So the biggest transportation is the biggest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. So, and a lot of that is due to individual car owners. Can the city or the commission do anything about that?
Well, yes, you are correct that transportation makes up 61% of the 2017 greenhouse gas inventory for the city. So, that's a substantial amount of emissions associated with one segment. There's nothing that the city of Chico can do to force people to get out of their vehicles. But what we can do is make it more attractive to not be in a vehicle. So we can provide safe routes of transit for bikes and skateboards and scooters, safe bike paths that are well lit, patrolled, clean, well maintained. We can provide secure parking, secure bike parking. We can disincentivize vehicle travel by you know, potentially having dynamic pricing for downtown parking or eliminating parking places and replacing with bike parking. You know, we're looking at a citywide scooter program so people can utilize scooter to move around the downtown core area. And then, of course, electric vehicles. So increasing the adoption and infrastructure for electric vehicles.
Right. We're trying to work our finances in that direction right now. One of the things that has really appealed to Steve and me as COVID has created problems for people is to close down Broadway. Close down Broadway and have like the thing that you were talking about, the hub downtown, having it be a hub, having it be an easy shopping area and restaurants. And Chico is so great with restaurants and bars. And then have parking outside of the city if people live outside of the city, and then public transportation that kind of circles that area. The other thing, I'm part of a group called Smart Growth Advocates. I think really working on infill building for housing. These are my ideas for the city of Chico. We don't need any more urban sprawl. We don't need those big housing developments outside the city. There's so much potential for making a really interesting compact city that has electric buses. So that's my vision. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you my vision now.
Beautiful. I like your vision.
Thank you. So what are you most enthusiastic about in the updated cap? I mean, I'm just so impressed with all of the really creative and interesting ideas that you all are developing. What are you most excited about or interested in?
There's two things. I was torn about this one. I ride my bike everywhere. I'm a bike commuter, and I'm just really excited about the prospect of, you know, being in downtown or even outside of downtown Chico and just seeing bikes everywhere, where, mm-hmm. you know, bikes are more normal than cars.
Yes.
And, you know, there's lots of communities in the Netherlands that have that model. And I've watched some of these videos from these communities, and, you know, I get a little jealous. I would love to see that for Chico. You know, we're such a great town for not just road biking, but commuting and mountain biking, recreational riding. Like, I would love just a city that embraces how incredibly freeing and wonderful the bike can be.
Right.
And I think if we've learned anything from COVID and how our bike shops have been impacted,
yes.
I think a lot of other people in the city of Chico are discovering for the first time how incredible riding around on a bike can be, both mentally and physically and environmentally. So that's one thing that I'm particularly excited about.
Nice. You're also the Chico State, we mentioned a couple of times, so the sustainability manager for Chico State. And I'm curious about how you see Chico State and the city working together and what kinds of cooperative efforts have been created there.
Yeah, you know, there's been so much that's been done already, but there's so much more potential to capitalize on the expertise of Chico State faculty and the enthusiasm and desire of our students and the passion and knowledge of our staff, and, you know, help work on some of these larger issues that affect not just Chico State, but the city of Chico as a whole. You know, the city, Chico State's position physically in the heart of downtown Chico, and it really helps to facilitate and foster those types of relationships within the city of Chico. So, you know, specifically with regard to the Climate Action Plan, you know, we have engineers with the knowledge and expertise to do electrification studies.
Wow.
Our students would benefit from that because this is going to be a huge job growth market for them. We have soil scientists and regenerative agriculture folks who can study the sequestration potential of soil and help us build the soil health within the city of Chico. We have transportation planners who can develop these transportation plans, who have the models from around the world. And the list goes on and on and on. You know, we have the expertise, and so I'm excited about the possibility of facilitating continued dialogue with our faculty, staff, and students, and helping to meet these challenges that we have within the city of Chico.
I remember at the sustainability conference maybe 2 or 3 years ago, there was a university that described its relationship with the city and how many projects they worked on together. And it's, as you said, the students get so much practical help, and the university gets to be in the world where it, in my opinion, it should be. As a former academic, I think that's, the university needs to have impact on the world, and then the city benefits from that expertise. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that we can. I think there's a lot of interest and excitement around that on campus and within the city, so we just need to pull all the pieces together and make it happen.
We just have a couple minutes left. Sheree, what advice do you have for our listeners? How can they learn more about the Climate Action Plan? You might tell us about the dates coming up that they should pay attention to. And how can they provide their comments and be part of the process? So please tell us how we can get more involved with your work.
Yes, I hope that we have so many community members that get involved in this work. This Climate Action Plan is your plan. You're a part of the city of Chico, so be part of the development of this plan. The website is chicocap.rinconconsultants.com. That website has information right now. You can go there right now. You know, you can take the quiz that Susan mentioned, or the quiz might actually have been taken down by now. But there's information, background information. At the bottom is a comment box that you can provide comments right now. Starting on October 26th, so in less than 2 weeks, the days have blurred together for me.
Yeah, I know.
Starting on October 26th is when the large public comment outreach is going to happen, and that will run for 3 weeks. That will also be on that same website, which again is chicocap.rinconconsultants.com. From that website, when that launches on the 26th, you'll be able to click through those 10 key strategies that we talked about. You'll be able to get a bit more detail on what exactly that means, what that entails. And you'll be able to provide your comments and feedback on that.
And
that will be public, so you can see what other comments are happening within the city. You know, you can support other comments and say, oh, that's a great idea. You had a question, Susan?
And that's starting on the 26th, when that will be accessible?
That's right. So starting October 26th, and it will only run for 3 weeks.
Okay.
You know, talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to your neighbors. You know, this, like I said, this is a plan for the city, so we would like as much diverse representation from the city as possible to really build a plan that that everybody can be excited about and engaged on, because we're not going to meet our goals if we don't have, you know, community participation in this.
You totally got me excited about this.
Yeah, we'll continue to follow up on your progress, so come back and talk to us at some point. Our guest has been Sheree Chastain. In addition to being the chair of the Chico Climate Action Commission, she's the sustainability manager at Chico State University. Thanks so much for joining us, Sheree. It's always great to talk to you. This is Ecotopia.
Thanks so much for having me. You guys are wonderful.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you. This is KZFR 90.1 Chico. Cry for a song.
Cafferetti in a corner thinking he's nobody, and Jack behind his joker and Stone Cold Grace behind her fan, and me and my frightened silence thinking I don't understand. I feel like I'm sleeping. Can you wake me? You seem to have a broader sensibility. I'm just living on nerves and feelings with a weak and a lazy mind, and coming to people's parties fumbling deaf, dumb, and blind. I wish I had more sense of humor, keeping the sadness at bay, throwing the lightness on these things, laughing it all.
I am so happy that my CD didn't work. It was like a long, beautiful walk down memory lane listening to this Joni Mitchell album tonight.
Coming up in just a few minutes, Ginger Nichols will not be with us tonight with Radioactive. Instead, we'll be switching over to Radio Paradise till 7:30, and then it's American Pastimes or Zephyr Soul coming up. So, as always, stay tuned to KZFR.
You've been listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico. Contact us at ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com. We'd like to hear any feedback about shows, suggestions for shows, or people you'd like to hear us interview, questions about any of the topics we've covered. And let us know if you have a public service announcement that will be of value to our community that you'd like to have aired.
And you can listen to our previous shows, check out our list of resources, go to our website, ecotopiakzfr.com, and we now podcast. Tonight's show will be up tomorrow morning. You can go to Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, any place where you'd go to get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
This is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And we now join Radio Paradise.